Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You are listening to an A&R podcast. This is episode 12. And on today's podcast, we'll be talking about the Sony and Netflix massive deal. We'll talk about Invincible episode 5. And lastly, we will talk about Hasbro's Fan Fest. So let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. We are excited today to talk about some amazing and juicy topics. So before we begin, I want to introduce my band of brothers from the sewers. The Turtle Gang is here today, four of us. My friend D, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Hope you're good, too.
All right. D is our Leonardo. And then our buddy Chris, who you would say is the smartest, so he has to be Donatello. Chris, how are you doing?
He's back. I am good. How are you guys?
Good, good. And our party guy here in the room is our friend Telford. How are you doing, Telford?
Doing good. How you guys doing?
I'm a little choked that I'm not Michelangelo, but yeah. I respect that Telford is Michelangelo.
All right, so we'll switch you guys around the next time we're all together.
It's okay.
And I saved the best turtle of all time, Raphael, for myself.
I thought you were April.
Okay, all right. You're going to be a foot soldier if you
want. You're Danny.
All right, so great to have all of us together. I can't wait to get into the topics that we have today, but as usual, we do our what we watched and what we got. So we're going to start it off with you, D. What did you watch and what did you get?
You know, I've been trying to find new things to watch aside from Falcon Winter Soldier and Invincible. I just realized I don't really have any shows. So I'm going to have to do some digging or go find a movie to watch this weekend or next weekend coming up. And what did I buy? I got a new computer finally. But action figure wise, I'm still waiting for my Cloud Strife figure. So nothing exciting for me. So you guys are going to have to pick up the slack.
Who's making
here.
That figure?
Pardon?
Who makes that figure?
It was Play Arts. Or sorry, Bring Arts. Play Arts. I got the smaller scale one.
Okay. Nice. All right. Anything else?
Sadly, no. I'm feeling a little left out this week. So let's hear what you guys got. Make it juicy, please.
Chris, what did you watch and what did you get?
So I did watch the new Thunder Force on Netflix.
Oh, I watched that too.
It was funny. It was your classic McCarthy comedy film, but it was good. It was funny. I enjoyed it. You know, it's not something you have to watch and use your brain. Well, at least for me. But I thought it was pretty good. And very, very small week of a pickup. I did pick up the Marvel Legends Jocasta figure. Not that I needed her in my collection, but I will be doing a custom figure of Maria from my favorite movie 1927 Metropolis. She's a great base body, so I will be customizing her. Yeah, and that's
we would love to see a picture of that in our Instagram probably. So I can't wait for you to finish that.
Definitely give me about a year or so and then I'll be finished. No, I'm just kidding.
But, slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly. But yeah, it was a quiet week for any hauls.
Nice, nice. Telford, what'd you get and what'd you watch?
Well, we watched Thunder Force as well. We thought it was pretty hilarious, you know? Kind of a sleeper comedy there. What else? The usuals, Winter Soldier, Invincible, obviously. Yeah. We watched What About Bob this evening, which was pretty funny. Old classic.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. As for pickups, I picked up a lot this week. I got Storm Collectibles E-Honda.
Yeah, you did.
And Unmasked Sub-Zero. What else did I get? A couple other Mortal Kombat figures. I got, who else? Oh, I got Ermac, the old Ermac figure. And then I got a bunch of G.I. Joes, too. I got some Red Ninjas, and I got Baroness finally. So, yeah, quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah. Nice, nice, nice. For myself,
probably not as extensive as yours, though. But
no, I had a pretty relatively quiet week this week. I got the Storm Collectibles E Honda just like you did. Problem was when I went to that store, and you know when you go to buy something and then you walk by something else, you know, like, huh, I'm here, I might as well get it. So that's what happened to me. I was not looking for these figures. I had no intention of buying it. I picked up the SH Figure Arts Loki, which is a new one that came out with the Tesseract.
Oh, cool.
I got that one. And then I also picked up the final, they call it the final edition SH Figure Arts Thanos. But who knows with SH Figure Arts? They already made 5 of them. Why not make another one?
Yeah.
So I picked that up. He is a beefy boy. There's a lot to this box. It's one of the biggest boxes from SH Figure Arts in terms of Marvel characters. I got him, and then I picked up, today in the morning, I got a doorbell ring, and then I opened it up. It was NECA. NECA dropped off my Roadkill Romney 2-packs.
Nice.
So I got two of those a set. You can only buy two, which is fine by me. I think it's fair for everybody to have a chance to get it, not have some guy buy like 6 of them, right? So
yeah. I need two of those.
Yeah, so I got that. And then, I don't remember if I mentioned Mezco in my last week's haul, but I have the Mezco. I don't know why I haven't opened this up yet, but it's that Moon Knight. I still haven't opened it up.
Oh, man. You got the like white one or the exclusive?
The exclusive one.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I was going to get the white one.
I'm still looking for the white one.
Yeah, for me, I'll get the white one, but I'm happy with the Legends one because I bought an aftermarket cape for it. And he looks fantastic. But with the movie coming out, I think they're going to make one anyways, a better version. So I'm holding out. Sure. Not the movie, sorry, the TV show that's coming out. So I'm holding out for that. But I want to get the exclusive because a lot of people like the white costume of Moon Knight, but I like both. I'm a fan of that character, so I like both costumes. I'm okay with it. And I found this for relatively cheap. I think I only got it for $130.
Oh, for a Mezco, so, that is pretty cheap.
Yeah, it was an SDC exclusive. It's sealed, never opened. And I'm like, okay, well, I like the character. I'll pull the trigger. I'm not a huge Mezco fan. You guys know this. I only have the Superman Mezco. So, yeah, I mean, why not? $130. And then the funny thing is that yesterday I got an email from Mezco stating my Dr. Fate Mezco is available for me to pick up or to buy because I had it on a wait list.
Oh, nice.
But Dr. Fate's such a really interesting character. I don't know too much about him, but I would, once I get that figure, I'll be motivated to go and learn more about him. I just like that character's look. It's pretty nice. So that's all I have in terms of what I got that I can remember. In terms of watching, obviously the Invincibles, Falcon Winter Soldier, Thunder Force is hilarious. I don't know what it is with her, Melissa McCartney, but every time I see her on screen and she does this, even something that's not even funny, just the way she does it, her mannerism, I just start laughing. Okay. She's so good.
Can I just mention a scene that was my favorite when I think she was training and they give her the second injection. She's like, oh, it's like burning my face. And her friend's like, oh, it'll be over in like 2 seconds. And it goes back to her and she's like, okay, I see what you mean. You...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was just so ridiculous. It was funny.
It was such an over-the-top thing. It was pretty fun. It had some, you know, boring moments here and there, but I mean, hey, it's a Netflix movie. It was fine. You know, I thought it was good. It's one of those things where you turn off your brain and just watch it for the fun of it, right?
Yeah.
Jason Bateman's character was pretty.
Oh man, my wife and me were just howling about his, you know, buttering. Remember he was getting buttered up by
old day. What about the dance sequence? That was my favorite.
Oh my god!
I'm trying to grow my hair like that.
Legendary. Oh, man. Yeah, I think him making his cameo there really sealed that show. That if it wasn't for him, I think it would have been a lot less funny. But because he was in it, it just, it added that element. And he's such a great actor. I love him in Ozark. He's such a fantastic actor. He can do anything. He can do serious. He can totally do funny. And he's really snarky with his comedy too, right?
That's what I like about him. It's so dry.
Yeah. Ozark, when he makes like stupid little comments, like little, he takes a little jab at people. And it's so well done. And only he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't see any other character or actor doing that. You know, it's just he has that. That's his own, you know, thing. And I love it. You know, it's just Ozark's a great show. I love it. I can't wait for it to. I think they're doing the final season. I think one more. That's it. But yeah. He's such a good actor. But
I also found it funny on Thunder Force too. Melissa McCarthy's husband is actually one of the henchmen.
He's always really? In every one of her movies.
Yeah, the one who gets tasered in the face.
That's awesome. That's good. That's good. That left a mark.
And he's trying to cover it up with concealer. That's funny.
You're not using the right one. Did you yell that to the screen, Chris? You're not using the right one.
Oh, I was so furious. I'm like, I can't do this.
I'm turning this off. Yeah, okay. And that's pretty much what I've watched. I do want to mention one show. It's a bit of a sci-fi show. It's called For All Mankind. It's on Apple Plus, Apple TV. It is a show that's in season 2, and I've been hooked on it since last summer. And it's about, it takes starts in the 60s about the race to the moon and how the Apollo missions and all that. But it's like an alternative universe where what if they made it to the moon and what if Russia made it to the moon first, though?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they didn't stop. Like, you know how we stopped after we went to the moon, we didn't bother going there and doing any further advancements. This starts in the 60s but goes all the way to the 80s, and they never stopped advancing their searches and their, you know, moon-based operation. They continued forward.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's such a good show. I recommend this highly to a lot of people. It's comedy, it's drama, it's edge of your seat action sometimes. It's great. Starts in the late 60s. It's all the way up to the 80s right now in season 2. And it's great. And there's a lot of things they put in there to change it up and make it into a separate universe of its own. Right? So, yeah, definitely recommend that for anybody who wants to watch something about astronomy and NASA program. But, yeah, other than that, that is all I've watched. So, with that all that out of the way, we can start with our first topic. It is the Sony and Netflix deal, $1 billion over 4 years deal.
What?
Yeah. So we'll start it off with our digital roundtable. We'll start off with D. What did you think of this deal?
Well, they needed something to compete. Like, to be honest, I haven't really paid attention to Netflix lately. Disney Plus doesn't really have a lot aside from the Marvel show. Prime has Invincible, but for whatever reason, I still don't really find myself craving Netflix. So this deal could be good for them. I did notice, however, it said it was covering the USA, will it include just North America in general, or is it limited to this the actual just United States? Because you know how Netflix has their different shows and contracts per region. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is that confirmed or?
Well, I would say right now it's too early to say that if they're gonna do it more than just the U.S. But I think you could pretty much book it. If it's in the U.S., it's probably gonna happen here in Canada, something of this scale, because Sony doesn't really have a platform to put their stuff on anywhere else aside from Netflix that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
that was the one thing that bothered me. Is just, and I know it's outside of their control because of the like actual legalities of it. But my friends in the States like, oh, did you check this show out? And I'm like, no, because I don't have... I need to turn on my VPN to watch this. And my friends... I don't know. But
Are you looking forward to it?
Pardon?
Are you looking forward to this still?
It could be... Well, in the case of like newer movies, like for example, Morbius is slated to go to it. So I kind of do want it now for that sake, just out of curiosity and to see how... however many other new films go directly to it or go to it first, it could be good. It's going to be good for them. I don't see this failing for them in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Chris, only thing else is...
Sorry. I didn't know you were finished.
No, that was my fault. I was just pondering the idea, like, they have squandered things in the past. So I don't want them to take this for granted and not pump out the content that they could with this deal, because Sony is allowed to offer their films to other services. If Netflix just says no, I don't want to use this one, then Sony's like, okay, we can go to the next one. That's part of their deal. So I'm hoping Netflix doesn't squander this. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know. Chris is a movie buff. What do you think?
I'm actually kind of excited about this. You know, I know we're not going to see anything until 2022, but I feel like we're getting into the battle of the bands, but it's all streaming movies. You know, I think with this happening, what is Disney going to try and do? You know, what more movies can we bring as streaming content for consumers like us? I think it's awesome that, you know, we're going to be seeing original Netflix movies that are helped produce by Sony. And I love the fact that, you know, it's going to be available after its runtime in the theaters. I think it said almost instantly, which is pretty awesome. You know, if we're still in the situation that we're in with the pandemic, you know, it's kind of bringing that normality to our life. You know, it's just not on a big screen. I think it's an amazing move. And, you know, that's just the evolution of the movie industry. I think, you know, we've come so far. It's hard to believe that, you know, being born in 83 and just things development in our lifetime, it's, we have our computers that, the palm of our hands where we can watch movies, write everything, text, you know, what can't we do? And gaming as well. It's just, I never thought I'd go from, what was it, 3-bit to almost like watching real life people. But back to the topic, you know, I think it's an awesome move on Netflix. It was definitely... I'm always on Netflix. I'm always trying to find and watch new movies that I haven't seen before. Even things that I find that I don't care to watch, I'll watch it anyways because it's there. You know, I'm not... It's an awesome move. I think it's going to get better. And selection-wise, I think they wrote down here... Sorry, let me just go find it. Sorry. This is what excited me. So it's sequels to Venom, Jumanji, Bad Boys, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which will be on Netflix. I'm like, hello, I'm not leaving. Don't call me. You know, I'll be busy for about a week. That's what I'm going to be doing for my vacation, you know. But that's my point of view. I'm excited to see what happens. And you know what? If it's good, it's great. If it's bad, you know what? We got more movies to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good outlook.
Telford?
I'm pretty excited for it, you know. Netflix isn't my favorite streaming platform, mainly because they don't build their library. They want to, like, put stuff on there, take it down every, like, so often. It gets pretty annoying, especially if you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be on Netflix. I want to watch it. And it's not. But anyways, I digress.
What is your favorite? Right now, if you had to pick one streaming service, what is your favorite?
One legal one.
I don't know. Right? Hey, I pay for it. I like Disney, man, because there's like tons of old Disney shows. I heard recently that Always Sunny in Philadelphia is on there.
Yeah, too, it is. So on the Star app. Time.
Yeah, which is hilarious. So,
I've never watched that show. I've never watched
it. Oh, man, it is the best.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I'm super excited, you know. I just wish it was done sooner because it's looking like our lockdown and stuff's going to be put back into effect here. So, I don't know. I wish there were more new movies coming out. We're going to have to wait for Black Widow still, and now we're going to have to wait even longer for all these Sony movies, but whatever. As long as they're going to be streaming, that's pretty cool, I think.
Mm, okay. Anything else you want to add? I don't want to cut you off, you know?
No.
Okay, all right. For me, like, my favorite streaming service is Netflix, and I hear what you say, Telford, about the fact that they take off certain movies and shows off, and that bothers me too. But more importantly, you know, I haven't seen HBO and Disney Plus and now Paramount and Peacock joining the fanboy club there. The four of them have come out and they have a lot of content from existing, the library that they have. But Disney has shown a little bit with their, you know, investor conferences where they're going to invest in original content. For me, what makes a service, you know, enjoyable is original content. That's what's going to keep me from continuing to give my money to them. If they don't provide original content to me, I have no reason to be with them and give them my money every month. And I watch a variety of different genres. I watch sports, I watch comedy, I watch action. So I have a wide spectrum of things that I like to watch, and for me, Netflix, you know, meets that, right? You know, all those criterias, whereas Disney doesn't do it for me. Disney only has action, maybe a little bit of comedy, but that's it. And same thing with HBO Max, you know, in Canada it's called Crave, and then Peacock, which we don't even have yet, and Paramount Plus, we don't have that either yet, which is coming. But I just find that, you know, and then don't forget Amazon. But Amazon, you know, like I mentioned before we got on, Amazon is more of a shipping company right now. They're adding stuff to their streaming platform, but it's not like their primary focus. This is just an add-on bonus that they give us along with Amazon Music. But I didn't, you know, I know we pay more for Netflix than any of these other services, but I feel that with them doing this deal with Sony, it sort of gives, you know, a kick to Disney saying, ha, look, we still got a Marvel content in our library. You took it away from us, but we got it here. And we're going to, you know, stick it to you guys by having the Spider-Verse in our service before you guys can get it. Yeah. Which I think is, you know, it's an embarrassment on Disney's side where I don't know why Disney couldn't make this deal with Sony. What is $1 billion to Disney? Nothing.
Yeah.
Right? It's nothing. And the fact that Disney and, I mean, didn't go ahead and do this, I don't understand that. It boggles the mind. Maybe Sony didn't want to do it with them, but I kind of find that hard to imagine, especially right now that they have that agreement to have Spider-Man crossover into Marvel cinematic shows. I find that there is a relationship there, but I just don't know what happened there. But kudos to Netflix for stepping in there and going, hey, $1 billion. And Sony needs all the money you can get right now because they don't have their own platform to stream their content. They have a huge extensive library, but they don't have any, you know, actual platform. So mm-hmm. I think this is smart on Sony's point, you know, where they're like, hey, we'll do a 4-year deal. And, you know, that's it's a 4-year deal. That's the important thing here, is it's not forever. It's a 4-year deal that afterwards can be either renegotiated or Disney smartens up and says, you know what? Come over here. We'll give you twice as much. We know Netflix can't afford it. We'll give you twice as much. We'll learn our lesson. You come back here. Spider-Man comes back home with us in our library here. So, yeah, and, you know, to Dee's point, we don't know if it's going to be a worldwide deal. It's right now only penciled in for U.S., but I think it'll be I think Canada's going to get it as well. Maybe Mexico will get that deal. It just kind of makes sense for Netflix to do that, because if they're only signing it just for the U.S., that's a money I don't think that is well invested. They need to make a profit out of this deal. Otherwise, they're going to be in the red. And they're already in the red with all the money that they've upfront invested into their original content. But they're hedging their bets, saying that, hey, with the money that we spent right now, we're going to make that back in 2022, 2023. And I think that with the pandemic, it probably accelerated that plan, where a lot of people were streaming, a lot of people were signing up for Netflix because they simply didn't have anything else to do. But yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. until I see Disney and Amazon and these guys pumping out the original content every month, I still think Netflix is king of the streaming giants. It is there fighting it, you know, against Goliath, which is Disney, and, you know, all the other platforms. But it's king right now for me and my money, because every month they're giving me something new. Like, for example, April and May, they got a bunch of shows coming out, you know, and we'll talk about all these shows as they start coming out. But yeah, mm-hmm. definitely huge deal for Sony. Kudos for Netflix to get on this and sign this deal. And one of the things about Netflix is, and I hope they don't do it, I doubt they will, is they don't charge us additional money to watch something that just comes out. I hate that about Disney and HBO. Yeah. If you're going to make me pay, you know, make me pay a little bit more every month, but give me that movie and not tell me to go pay another $29 for it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's embarrassing. It's like, you're going to gouge more money out of me? You know, what do you...
Yeah.
And
it's a joke.
Amazon does the same thing. Yeah,
it's a joke.
But they do have some good shows too, like The Tick. I don't know if you guys watched
The Tick. Yeah, I love that.
That was great.
And you can forgive Amazon if they're not robust like that, because that's not their main, you know, you're not paying $70 whatever it is a year for their streaming service. You're paying for a lot of other things. So you can forgive Amazon mm-hmm. for that.
And
I'm okay with Amazon being, you know, an average streaming platform, because that's not exactly what I signed up for. I signed up for all the other things as well that encompass that mm-hmm. yearly plan that I pay for, right? Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, you know, kudos to Netflix for doing this. And I'm sure that when the movies drop, they're not going to say pay $30. If they do, that's when I'm going to be pretty upset. But I doubt Netflix. They've never done that, have they? Have they ever charged upfront on top of their monthly?
No,
they just raised it a little bit at a time.
Yeah, they just recently raised it, so I doubt they're going to raise it anytime soon. But yeah, I mean...
Can I just add to a really good point that you made? Because it really makes me think, because I love movies. And the one major point that you brought up, and I loved it, was original content. You know, some people might think, okay, well, what's so big about original content? If you think about it, you know, my generation, and I know Telford probably has this in his home, some of us who are big movie buffs love special edition Blu-rays, DVDs. You know, we have these at mm-hmm. home. Why would I watch it on a streaming service when I like to watch a movie and then I watch special features afterwards? What is going to draw me to purchase a monthly membership to watch movies that I probably already own? You know, it's the original content is what's going to draw new and keep the memberships constant. So, no, I loved your point about that, and it just makes so much more sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened to Disney when they came out of the gates. They came out with the gates thinking that they're going to attract so much money and people will stay on. What happened? As soon as the first month passed, a lot of people canceled their monthly subscription with Disney. They're like, wait, this is it? You're going to give us stuff that you already have in the vault?
Yeah.
Well, we already have all half the DVDs and Blu-rays in our collection. Why do we need this? So mm-hmm. that's where Disney's like, oh, oh, we better do more than just Mandalorian here, because everyone's canceled. As soon as the Mandalorian show ended, people canceled their subscription. I'm one of them. When this first season of Mandalorian stopped, I canceled my subscription to Disney. There is no reason for me to watch that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for all their stuff that they have, because I've already seen it or have it in my collection. So I don't care. So only way they're going to get my money is if you bring me original content where I can't get anywhere else. And that's where they have this investor meeting where they came out with a bunch of Star Wars and Marvel shows. And they better keep going, because, you know, Friday night is not the only time I want to watch Disney Plus. So I better see releases coming out on Fridays, Mondays, Tuesdays, and so on. Give me content all the time if you want my money. And, you know, this nonsense, oh, we're only charging you, whatever, $9 a month. I didn't tell you to charge me that little. I want you to charge me based on what you're going to give me. You want to charge me $15, go ahead. But you better be warranting that $15. You know, Netflix is on the edge where it's 18-something here in Canada, and that's for 4 connections. And I'm like, okay, well, you're getting pretty close to a point where I might cancel you, but here they are bringing you more content and signing a huge deal with Sony where it's going to keep me there, because I'm like, okay, you have my attention and my money now because you're making this $18 worth it, yeah. Right? And that's where we're going to see what Disney does and what HBO does. I'm going to give them a year. You know, you better get it together and give me some content. Otherwise, I'm not going to subscribe to you every month. I'll do it every, you know, couple of months or something, whatever it is. Or mm-hmm. a big show comes mm-hmm. out. But yeah, we'll see what happens with this. Very interesting and smart move on Netflix. And we'll see how it goes from here, what the reaction is from the other giants, what they do. All right, up next, we're going to talk about the, speaking of his platforms and original content, Invincible on Amazon Prime. And this is a home run show. If you're not watching this show, you need to get on it. This is an amazing show. Definitely worth your time on Amazon Prime. And it is made by it's the creator of Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman. Definitely worth checking out. So episode 5, guys, we all watched it, and I know you guys are ready to talk about it.
Wow. That's all I can say.
We'll start it off with our digital roundtable first. D, what'd you think of episode 5? And by the way, just for anybody who's listening, this is full of spoilers. So
okay.
If you haven't watched it.
I was about to ask, spoiler talk or not spoiler talk?
It's total spoilers. This is how we do it. We spoil everything here. Not because we're mean people. It's just we want to talk about it and, you know, not have to skirt around certain topics. So if you haven't seen it, go back. Watch it, come back, and listen to our thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So that's your warning.
Pause
there.
Now. Go watch.
All right, Dee. So what do you think of episode 5?
Loved it. So action-packed. They paced themselves, too, though. That was the thing I appreciated. So we got a great introduction of Titan, who was in the comics, and he's voiced by Mahershala Ali, which I absolutely appreciate. I've never been let down by him. Just thinking of all the films and shows he's been in, like, yeah, he's pretty much 10 across the board. So his character is, think of Colossus, but a rock power instead of metal.
That's a great way.
I thought his name was Granite Man when I first seen him. I'm like, who's this guy, Granite Man? But no, Titan. Sorry, back to you, D.
He is a street leveler. I guess you'd call him a villain or an anti-hero. He's kind of a thug for hire. And what's great is this episode teeters around who Invincible should pay attention to. His dad wants him to pay attention to, like, global level threats, which makes me think of the Avengers. There was an issue of the Avengers where Luke Cage took them to, I don't want to be derogatory, but a ghetto. And he's like, we're going to stand here for hours until people just start leaving their, like, drug dens and all that. So this is what this episode was about. Titan convinces Invincible it's not all rainbows and sunshine for everyone, and it might be great for you, but you don't know what it's like living like me. So just come take out this local mob boss. See if you can handle that. And even though he is a Viltrumite who is pretty much durable to everything, he can still get in over his head. So there was some fantastic fight scenes based on that alone. Yeah. There was that penthouse fight scene, and this might be, it's up there for my top 10 fights of this year. We'll see if anything can top it. The gore was next level. Some people love that. So on that note, Chris, please tell us what you thought.
I was kind of coerced into watching the show, and I was probably gonna get to it, and now I'm just like, I can't get enough of it. So we started with episode 5, and you know, we were introduced to Titan, and I thought, okay, this is cool. It's a bit of a side story. And then it kind of cut to Mark getting lessons from Omni-Man. And then it was kind of going back and forth. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. It's not like your typical filler. It's kind of giving a day-to-day playout of each character, kind of a little more of a calm episode. I was so wrong. I'm like, I thought, ooh, rainbows and daisies. Nope, guts and gore. It was a great episode because it really shocked me at the end. I love the characters. I love Machine Head. And I think I'm going to bring it up. Before D came on, last episode, there was a point where D would talk, and on our microphones, he sounded like Cher. A little bit rave, kind of auto-tune. And then as soon as I seen Machine Head talk, I'm like, is that D?
That's my new alias.
Yeah. But it was great because we also seen where she finds the book of notes that the demon left behind in her closet, and I'm like, oh, things are gonna get juicy.
You stole my thunder there.
I'll stop talking about it there.
Yeah, man. I have to limit myself. I'm like, okay, there's other people here. I need to pass the baton.
It's totally fine. Go ahead, keep going.
She finds the notebook. Okay, I'll end that there. And then what else? I thought don't know if anyone's going to bring it up, but the robot guy playing both sides.
Yes. Very, very sneaky.
Very,
very, very sneaky guy.
But I don't know what happened in the comics, so I don't know what he's up to. But I definitely, definitely enjoyed this episode. Again, it was just, oh, this is cool. And then it was the ending penthouse fight, and Monster Girl. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to let everyone else get their chance to get in there. Oh, Monster Girl. Okay, I'm done. Yeah.
Telford, go ahead.
I completely agree with all you guys on this. What an insane, amazing episode. It started out super chill and it added a lot to the storyline between a lot of the characters. And then, yeah, you get to that penthouse scene, and it was like, wow, this is over the top. It was pretty cool. And, I caught myself gasping a couple times, like, oh, my God, did they just do that? It was pretty wild, man. I don't know the character's name, but the lion guy?
Holy crap, Battle Beast.
That dude is brutal. He's like a T-Rex meets like Thanos. It was crazy.
Yeah, just badass.
Yeah, totally. But I don't know. I don't know what else to say other than what you guys already did. So I will pass off to you, Elvin.
Yeah, I mean this episode was unreal, right? Somebody's getting caught there. There's robbery happening in progress. Live. This is CNN. Live.
Yeah, right?
It was me.
This is all live. We never script this stuff. This is like as it is. We have someone knocking on our doors. We have dropped figures on the floor. You're going to hear it all. So
I love living in the city.
So, yeah, with this... this episode 5, I really was like sucked in by this, you know, Granite Man, whatever his name was, about talking about low level crime, where he's talking to him and saying, you know, you're used to up there kind of big fights. Why don't you come help us, you know, poor folks down here? And I fell for it hard. You know, I was like, yeah, you know, this guy is really a genuine, you know, people's kind of hero. He reminded me of Luke Cage.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like that, you know, the neighborhood kind of guy trying to help out people, but staying low and, you know, trying to help his family, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, and that twist at the end just, I don't know what it was, but I got angry.
Dude, I was like, damn, he played him.
I'm like, oh my God.
But he didn't lie. That's the thing.
This show. This show and the pounding that Invincible, how he got pounded to a pulp. I mean, it was just unreal. Am I watching this? What is going on here? And it was no mercy. It was no let up, nothing. It was like to a pulp. And it was just unreal to show is how far the show goes. And then you add the other element where you got the mom snooping around the house, trying to, you know, suckers the dad to go fly to the other side of the world to get some herbs and spices or whatever it was. And, you know, she is like, you know, finds his booklet. And then, you know, she finds the bag where his so-called costume is, bloodied up and things like that. But before that even, you know, the guy that was doing the detective work, he gets killed. You know, he gets, like, you know, sent back to hell.
Sent back to hell.
Yeah, sent back to hell or something. And it's just like, I'm wondering if, I don't know this because I haven't read far in, and Dee's probably going to chuckle and laugh. But that book, is that way, Dee, you don't have to answer this, and please don't answer it. I wonder if that book is a way for him to come back to this world. I wonder if that, you know, leaving that remnant, because there's a reason why he planted that there. I don't know. For me, it's just very interesting that the book was sitting there in that corner. But yeah, the mom's hot on the trail now. And I know a little bit of what happens. And that's going to be a mic drop for sure when that happens. But this episode was just like, oh my God. It just, I haven't watched, aside from the Disney Plus shows right now with the Marvel stuff, I haven't watched an animation where it's kept my entertainment value at a high and kept my interest and me sitting at the edge of my seat in all five episodes.
Yeah.
It is an amazing show, the writing and everything. But with all that being said, there's some fans I've been hearing on the internet not happy with the show's direction they're going. I've heard some chatter where fans of the actual book, the novel, they aren't happy with the direction they're taking, kind of veering away from Kirkman's vision and his storytelling. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't read the entire, you know, book series, but this direction is a pretty good direction in my opinion. I mean, it's fun. It's a great ride. It's unreal. It's like when he gets punched in the gut, I'm getting punched in the gut because I'm like, the turns in this thing is unreal. The up and down roller coaster of emotions is crazy.
Well,
you know, like it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris, you're saying?
Well, what I was going to add to your comment about the fans saying, oh, they've changed things. You know, speaking from experience from reading the Walking Dead comics and then watching the actual TV show, you know, there were some times where I thought that scene was going to play out from the comic, but it didn't in the show. You know, if you want to keep fans happy, you're going to have to change it. You know, it's
so long as the fundamental core stuff doesn't get changed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to kind of keep it fresh and new, and you know, it, they wouldn't do it if they didn't think it was a necessary move. And you know what, we see it all the time. It shouldn't be a shock if you've watched other shows, you know, especially with the X-Men animated. You know, that didn't go necessarily exactly like the comics. So, you know, chill out. You know, happy that we're getting a cartoon that we didn't think we were going to get. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Dee, I know you read all the storyline.
Yeah.
In your opinion, the five episodes that have been, you know, released so far, do you agree or disagree with the fans who are, you know, unhappy with the direction it's going?
Here's the thing. So, in the comic, the fight scene between Omni-Man and the Guardians of the Globe was maybe like one page, and it was just a blood splatter. They didn't have the luxury of having to animate like a 10-minute everywhere fight scene. Like, I'm sorry, but the fact that they animated that these types of fights beautifully, like that penthouse fight, that was maybe a page in the comics. I'm very thankful they had to sacrifice some of the smaller issues. Like, they had to cut some things in favor of these beautiful animated... Like, the story's still progressing the way it does in the book so far. Some things have changed, but the core storyline is still on its linear path. Oh, I can see where it did diverge a little bit, and it doesn't really hurt anything so far. Like, nothing major changed.
Yeah, and that's my point is, like, yeah, as long as they don't change the core storyline, I think all the little things that they do change to make it more interesting, and, you know, it's because it's an animation, not a comic book, I'm okay with that. You know, like, I'm totally fine with that, because they have to make little changes here and there to make it work. It's not a comic book. It's an animation.
Yeah.
So you have to drag it out maybe, or remove something else to develop something else in the storyline, right? So, yeah, absolutely. I'm okay with that.
It's funny to me how, like, I did see the same thing. Some fans were upset that they're not paying homage to Kirkman's vision. They had Ryan Ottley in the studio, who was, for better or worse, a co-creator of the comic. So it's kind of disrespectful to be like, oh, they're not respecting this. You had one of the core members of the book sitting there overseeing the whole thing. He signed off on it. And then he was giving all that intel to Kirkman. So it's not like they just stole this project away from them and changed everything.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is about this is I haven't heard anything from Kirkman. He hasn't come out and said anything in social
media. No, Ottley's talking a lot, though. Like, every time I go on Instagram, he's just like, oh, my baby's in action. I love this. Like, he's ecstatic. So
he's,
I don't know.
But he's ecstatic. That's the key thing. He's ecstatic. He's not disappointed. So I don't know where this rumbling of fans are, but if the actual creators are happy with the progression, then what do these fans have to cry about? I don't understand. This is what I don't like about fans, you know, where they start making rumblings and saying, oh, he's not happy with it, but the actual person hasn't even come on said anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's just fake news for me. That's all it is. So is there anything else you guys want to add on to this?
We'll touch up more on later episodes. Then we have some, like...
Yeah, definitely.
Compare it more to the story, and then maybe you will have caught up by then in the comic. And if not, that's fine. But then we can, like, compare.
I'm waiting to read the comics until, like, after the season, I think.
Yeah, give it a try, definitely, though.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to read any more. Right? I don't want to spoil it for myself, right?
Don't spoil it.
To read them until after the season.
Wait till it won't have the same impact. So exactly. maybe hold off on reading it.
Yeah, I'll wait till after the season ends, and I'll see where they, you know, because there might be some things in the comic that I might like, and it'll add more to the story, right? So, yeah, okay. All right, so we're gonna head on to our final topic today. It was a 2-day event, well, sort of 2-day event, the Hasbro Fan Fest. I don't know what you want to call it, celebration, thanking everybody, but
is it the pre-party?
Yeah, happy hour. Ugh. They had some drinks there.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. They had on Thursday. They had the special fan fest for the Hasbro Pulse exclusive members, which turned out to be not so exclusive because some people were able to watch it without even having that membership. And then, and then Friday they had the actual fan fest where everyone had access to go and watch this event. So we had talked about in our last episode about this, and we kind of gave our points. I gave my points on what I was expecting and not expecting, and it was pretty much similar to what I thought it would be. But I was thinking that we should talk about, now that it's all said and done, we can go out of the room and, you know, talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of this whole 2-day thing that they had. And we'll start it off with you, Dee. I don't know how much you've caught of it. I haven't spoke to you about this much, so get your take on this. What did you think of this fan fest
by Hasbro? I caught quite a bit, actually, and anything I missed at the beginning because I was working, I just went and rewatched anyway. So first things first, I'm not a Pulse member. So going in, and after watching both the pre-party and this, I was curious what the worth is. I don't want to offend anyone like this. I'm not talking down upon it, but I'm like, what did that $50 get you that I missed out on, basically? So that was my first impression. And this goes back to last year as well, or a few months ago, because I remember they released a bunch of Lightning Collection, and people were freaking out because it's like, oh, we can only get it here. And then I went on EB Games website. I'm like, aren't these things that just launched like an hour ago? Why are they up for pre-order here? So I'm curious if the same thing's going to happen again this time, where they had all of these exclusives. Lightning Collection's pretty popular right now. So they have a Tyrannosaur Sentry from the Boom Comics. I definitely want that, but he seems like an exclusive. I wish Hasbro made it clear where these things would be 100% in store or not. Because they've done this in the past where they just like, oh, it's only exclusive here. Just kidding. So,
yeah.
Some of the reveals were like great. The
Hellfire Club.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way. It sounds like you do based on the reactions.
Yeah.
Marvel Legends, I liked the Iron Man reveals. Like, those were pretty... I wasn't in awe of anything. I was happy, but I wasn't drooling. I wasn't like salivating at the mouth for anything specific. Is there any key things that you enjoyed, Chris? Like, off the top of my head, I want the Lightning Collection and maybe a couple of Iron Men. But other than that, I don't really crave anything.
You know, I'm gonna firstly talk about the pre-party. You know, it's for premium members only, and that's what they said. And then when I found out that anyone could watch it, I'm like, so yeah, what did I pay that for? You know, I did sign up for it last year so I can get my hands on the Hellfire Club, because that is one set I did not want to miss. And I'm glad I did, because again, I think we said this last time, where people who've pre-ordered them, they haven't even shipped out yet, and that was supposed to be released in March.
That's inexcusable. Inexcusable to not ship out five months.
I think the thing that annoyed me the most is, you know, I thought, oh, premium member, they're gonna unveil something really awesome, and they were like, okay, let's get into it, it's exciting, and then they show us Domino, and I'm like, oh, he's talking about the scalloped armor shoulder pads. Well, yay. And then they show the photo of Cannonball's legs. I'm like, really?
That's hysterical to me.
this is what we get as premium members? This? You know, you couldn't have given us something that...
You got that exclusive concert, didn't you?
With the
Transformers exclusive contest.
I tapped out. I'm just, you know what? I can't believe that I was super excited. You know, the second day was more exciting. I think the thing that really made my whole day about the launch, you know, Friday when I was watching it, I was on my way to work. So I'm like taking screenshots and watching the video. And I'm excited about... oh, what's her name? Darkstar.
Darkstar?
Oh, I think they did such an awesome job on that. The hair sculpt is different, the face sculpt, the paint. But, you know, the one thing that I was like, my heart, I started getting excited anxiety for was that transforming Optimus Prime. And it's not just because of the transforming Optimus Prime. I think it was because we had Jay and Silent Bob in there, and I'm like, okay, now the fan fest is actually really good. But damn, that Optimus Prime. I don't collect Transformers. You know, I did watch Beast Wars, but I want that Optimus Prime. I'm sure my cat would play with it. until they said the price. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not worth the price. I think it is. And if I had that money, I would definitely buy it for what it does. But yeah, I think that was my most exciting thing about FanFest. Everything else was, you know, it was all right. The Lightning Collection metallic armor is pretty cool. I'm a sucker for anything translucent. But yeah, I have to say I was mostly disappointed about the premium member preview party. You know, it was sad. I'm sorry, Hasbro, you need to step it up a bit. Give us something a little more exclusive. You know, that's just from a fan's point of view. You know, try and look at it from our side. If you were revved up and a fan of Marvel Legends, Star Wars, everything that Hasbro covers, and this is what you get, you know, do you think you would be that excited over Domino and Cannonball? You know, it's, that's all I gotta say. And I know someone else has more to say.
Well, just before Telford, you say, you give your take on it. We were trying to get Hasbro as a sponsor, but with that take after, we're probably not going to get them a sponsor.
Oh, please. It's called constructive feedback. If you can't take it, then that's not my problem. That's a you problem. No, I'm just...
All right, Telfo, what did you think about the 2 days?
I thought it was completely lackluster. A couple of the reveals, like, I loved the Marvel Legends reveals, especially the Ursa Major Build-A-Figure. I'm really excited about that. And I can put them up there with Red Guardian and Crimson Dynamo, finally. They're pretty lonely on that shelf, missing their Russian compatriots.
Yes, yes.
But I don't know, man. It was just pretty lackluster, you know? The G.I. Joe figures they showed were really lame, just the movie figures. People were, like, hoping that they'd release some previews of some upcoming classified line figures, but nope. Which, that whole line's a disappointment with their distribution anyway, so maybe that just goes to show they don't know what they're doing around there. But, again, yeah, that transforming Optimus Prime was pretty cool.
Definitely.
But, yeah, aside from that, meh. I used to be a member, and I canceled it, and I have not renewed, and I'm kind of glad that I did not renew it, because there's no real point at this point in time, you know? So, I don't know. Pretty bummed. Mm-hmm. They should have definitely shown a lot more. Like, a lot of people, like, were excited, like us, man. We were, like, taking screenshots, like, all right, what's coming next? Nothing's coming next. So I don't know, that's pretty much all I gotta say on that one now.
Okay. Where do I start here? I've been patiently waiting for my turn. grab your
I was patiently waiting.
Grab yourself a snack, right? So all right,
it'll be a two-part episode.
Event. Yeah, I'll make it short and sweet. Not really. Two-day event telling us that, you know, Pulse members, that you're going to have an exclusive event all to yourselves. And then, you know, getting us geared up for this fan fest. They've never had a fan fest, so to speak, like this. So this is your first time doing this, as far as I know. I don't know if you guys, has Hasbro ever done a fan fest? I don't think they have actually done a 2-day fan fest, right?
No, they did have Hasbro Pulse, or the Hascon. Yeah, they've last done. Year.
This is the con, but this was the first time I think they did FanFest like this. So, whenever you do something for the very first time and you pump it up for weeks by sending us spam emails, you would think that this is going to be an epic event, not at the scale of con. I never once thought going into this FanFest thing that's going to be the same as Hasbro Con, because that is their butter, you know, bread and butter kind of thing. But I was expecting something that would say, oh, these guys, you know, love us as collectors, want to give back to us. And, you know, don't get me wrong, they did put on a show in terms of trying to do that, because, you know, we're just four people giving our perspective, but there could be hundreds and hundreds of people, even thousands of people. And I did see some people online actually liking the event. So, yeah. You know, I give them kudos for trying to do this, because I don't see Todd McFarlane doing a McFarlane Fest, even though it might be a barf fest. I don't see NECA doing it, even though
No Articulation Fest.
Lack thereof. NECA, yeah. I love NECA, but I don't see them doing it. Maybe this is what interests them to do it. But, like, you know, they're the only company, like Mattel's not doing it, they're the only company doing something for the fans. So I give them that. I respect that.
Okay, so let's start off with... Good point. Good point.
So... let's start off with the exclusive thing. Okay, so I'm going in, and I'm like, okay, so I even take my break at work so that I could watch at least the first half an hour of it and time my break. So I'm watching this for about half an hour, and I'm like, where's the exclusiveness that they spoke of? Because I don't see anything. So I'm like, okay, I give it time. I don't see anything from Star Wars. I don't see anything from G.I. Joe. I don't see anything from Power Rangers. I'm like, okay, I'm getting a little worried here. But I'm like, hey, never fear, Marvel Legend team's here. So they get on there, and they show us Domino, which, great. I good for people who love Domino. I could care less. They show a leg. I'm like, oh, cool, Cannonball's leg. Okay, so this must be a joke. And the joke was on me pretty much. That was it. And I'm just like, what is this? Like, you're going to show me a leg, and you're going to show me a figure that I don't care about? Like, what? And I'm like, because I was thinking at least I was going to be able to pre-order something that other non-members would not be able to do till tomorrow. I'm thinking the same way as Hasbro's Con, that there's going to be at least one figure from this entire group of, you know, lines that they have that I will have exclusive access to.
Mm-hmm.
And if they con, just gave us... Yes, yeah, the different type. if they just gave us one figure, I don't care which from which line, but if they gave us just that one figure, and a nice one too, that they spend money on building, and said to us that, hey, because you're a member, you only have access to get this first, and if you guys want it, you can get it right now for 24 hours, and then after that, we'll open it up to the rest of the customers. That one figure, if they had decided to do that, would have made my time watching there validated it, and I would have thanked them and said, okay, at least it was worth getting the membership, retaining it, and watching this event. But they didn't do that. And that rubbed me the wrong way, and I was like, this is garbage. You made me come and watch this thing, and you didn't even give me anything exclusive at all. I feel like that my money that I spent was wasted, and I don't know if I'm going to return that favor by renewing it this year. Until we'll see what Hasbro Con has to say, because mine expires just on the same time when that show started, because I bought it for the Hellfire Club as well, like Chris did. So, my, you know, first day goes by, I'm like, okay, let's see what the actual event was. Maybe I'm being selfish. I'm like, let's just see how tomorrow's event is. So we get into the next day's event. They start off with the, you know, the Fortnite stuff, which is pretty cool. I might dive into that. I'm not a huge Fortnite. I don't even play the game, but I kind of like the accessories they had, so it perked my interest. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then, like, the double elbows, and then I just really like the paint applications. I'm like, we'll give it a try. We'll see. But I'm not here for that. I'm here for the Big Daddy lines here. So, but this is a nice little appetizer. I'm like, I'm happy so far. So they get into the Power Ranger panel. Okay. Or did they get into the Transformer panel? Which one was the first? Can't remember. Do you guys remember which one was it? Transformers. Okay, so Transformers. Yeah. Okay, so Transformers, Optimus Prime, boom, you know, just, I'm going to get that. I'm like, okay, this is awesome. You know, then you have Kevin Smith on there, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I got to get this thing, you know, and then I look at the price and I'm like, whoa, $699 US dollars? You mean this is going to cost me around $800, $900 Canadian? I'm like, whoa, okay, this is way too much. But I'm like, but this is Optimus Prime. I'm like, oh, okay, so, you know, I'm like, okay, we'll see. And my hand was shaking, trying to get the checkout button pressed. I still haven't pulled the trigger on it. I might pull the trigger on it tomorrow. We'll see if it's still available. I'm secretly hoping it's not sold out so I don't have to deal with it. But it was awesome. It was so revolutionary. I'm like, okay, this is what a fan fest is all about. Here we go. You know, and then all the other robots they showed, I'm like, okay, this is stuff we've already seen. So I don't care for all this stuff. Show me things I didn't see. And they might have shown some things like some ugly, you know, dinosaur that I don't care for. I'm not a Beast Wars fan, even though I do have a few of their figures. But this is not what I'm here for. So, whatever. Okay, they show Mirage. I think it was Mirage or one of the other characters in there. I can't remember. So then we get to Power Rangers. And I'm trying to speed this here because I don't want to be here all day long on this podcast. And I'm sure you guys will appreciate that too. So we get into the Power Ranger stuff. And they show glittery Power Rangers. Okay, great. I mean, are you going to put this next to the Barbie and the Gem collection? Like, why are you showing us glittery Power Rangers? Great. Show us something else. Show us some other...
Like, what was that supposed villains. To represent?
Like, I don't know. I don't know what it was supposed to be. I have no idea. Hey, you know what? If you like glittery Power Rangers, cool. Good for you. Go get that collection. Do you. But, I mean, you started this bad guy wave, you know, with Pumpkin Wrapper and the Sphinx guy. Why not elaborate on that and maybe give us two more bad guys in the list? You know, like, add a couple more of that. That would have been nice. Like, even two bad guys from the entire panel would have, you know, appeased me of the Power Rangers panel. Said, okay, they did what they did. I'm good with that. But they didn't do that. So that's a fail right there. I don't care. And then they made the exclusive, whatever, Tyrannus, whatever his name is. I mean, I don't even know who this guy is. This jabroni at it with the red cape, right? I mean, great. I mean, he looks badass. Don't get me wrong. He looks badass. But they don't tell us, you know, can we get this in Canada anywhere? Or is it only through the Pulse thing? Because, you know, last time they told us it was a Pulse thing, we got burnt and it was available everywhere. And to this day, there's still available exclusives in Canada from Hasbro's so-called exclusive figures. So that we don't know what's going on with that. We have no idea. So then we get into the Star Wars. No, it wasn't Star Wars. It's Marvel Legends, right? So we get into the Marvel Legends panel and I'm like, all right, here we go. Marvel Legends guys. These guys can never do me wrong. Never do me wrong. You know, Dan, and, you know, Dwight and all these guys. I'm like, all right, this is going to be fun. And they just show us stuff that we've seen before and elaborate. I mean, don't get me wrong. Iron Man stuff was pretty cool. You know, a couple of guys, like, you know, you mentioned Telford was interesting. But it was a lot of the stuff that we already knew was going to be coming. Mm-hmm. This wasn't a huge surprise. And I was waiting for the surprise. They did a cool thing, but they gave a Sentinel away. That was pretty cool. They actually gave a Sentinel away, which I forgot to mention, during the exclusive first night, I think that it was? They gave a Sentinel away. That was cool. Okay, yeah, so, you know, I failed to mention that. That was great. That one person had a great day. You know, the rest of us, nothing. Right? So, it was nice that they did that. I appreciate that. So, they go and they show us all the stuff. Great. And it ends. And I'm just like, it ends with the Fantastic Four montage. And I'm like, okay, well, are you going to tell us what it is? Like, maybe this is the place to drop this information on, not some random Friday in the middle of May, right? If you're going to drop the next, you know, HasLab, this would be the platform time to do it. And they didn't. And I was just like, what? Why would you not do something massive here and drop it? They're like, we're saving it for later. For what? I don't want a regular day event. I want it on this day event. You got me all hyped up. Throw this at me. And they didn't. And I'm like, ah. You know, but out of all the panels, though, I do want to say Marvel Legends was probably the best out of all the panels. Because they actually did show a little bit here and there. Not to what I wanted. But they were far more better than all the other panels. Then we get to Star Wars. And I love me some Star Wars. And I had, you know, high expectations for some Star Wars figures. They showed a couple of good ones, and that's it. You know, it's like maybe, what, four figures, five figures max? And that was it. They didn't show us anything that, you know, we knew some of these figures were coming anyways. They showed us a sneak peek last time they had it. So I think, like, four of the figures that they showed, we already knew it was coming. And that was it. There was nothing else to it. And I'm just like, this is a fan fest? No, it's not. It's like, this is not a fan fest. This is just a regular day Friday event that they had, and it bothers me big time, especially being in a Pulse member. This is an insult, I think, to do something like that and not actually take it to the next level. Don't give us events and pump us up for it if you're just going to give us little trinkets here and there, because you could do that every Friday of the year. You know, and they've been doing that. I don't know why you have to make a big deal about it and have some guy with a British accent drinking cocktails. Like, I mean, sorry, dude, you're not doing anything for me. I understand that your lame jokes are trying to hit, but it's not hitting. And, you know, I don't understand. I appreciate everything Hasbro does. I love Hasbro as a company. They give us so much joy and everything, but don't make this an event and not actually come and bring it. Just do it on a regular day. I'm okay with that. You know, show me the trinkets on a regular Friday. I'm cool with that. But, you know, HasCon better, you know, they better light it up on HasCon, because I am not renewing my Pulse membership, and I will make sure other people don't renew it either by telling them how trashy they are with this exclusive membership. It's a joke. And one more thing, if they ever decide to ever listen to our small podcast, for God's sakes, if we are a member, give us free shipping. You give it to UK members, you give it to American customers, but you don't give it to Canadian people. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Free shipping would be nice.
And Hasbro, if you're listening,
can you do that?
Better Distro and G.I. Joe.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God, G.I. Joe. I forgot to mention that quickly. So, G.I. Joe, I was so hyped for this. I was so hyped about this. And I love me G.I. Joes, too. I was so pumped about it. And they give us movie figures.
Yeah,
I okay. kind of like the Baroness figure. That's a cool one. I okay. will be getting that.
Chris, you're gonna get fired right after the show ends. That is the
can
worst
I finish
figure.
My sentence?
That,
I'm gonna
that
buy
is the
her.
Worst figure.
I'm only
yes,
buying her for her feet, because
okay, yeah. So that doesn't even. I don't even know why you said that. I would just give it to you. Don't worry. that was the worst figure out of the line. Storm Shadow looks like he needs a bleach to clean his whites.
Yeah, he's wearing like a
it was just terrible. Yeah, he looked like he was rolling around in the dirt all day long with his white clothes on. Look at the Tide commercials. Oh, look at Tommy over there dirtying his white shirt. You know, let's
Storm
get him
Shadow,
bleached and cleaned all out.
His clothes have yellowed.
Yeah.
From a smoke-free home, I swear.
Yeah.
And then we get what our third, you know, our third. What's his name?
Snake Eyes.
What's his name? Snake Eyes. A third Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
Actually fourth if you count the Fortnite one too.
Yeah.
Right? So you got four Snake Eyes, and we don't even get any other people. Like, I'm looking for, you know, you have 200 plus characters in the G.I. Joe lore, and you don't even give me one classified figure? Yeah. I know you want to pump this movie, which, by the way, I think is going to be probably an epic fail, because the movie has, you know, the guy who's playing Snake Eyes, he's a prominent actor from that rich Asian whatever movie was. He's going to have his helmet off half the time, and he's going to talk. Snake Eyes doesn't talk.
Is this
talk.
A prequel?
Yeah, this is a prequel.
Okay, well.
And okay. Do you think they're going to put scars over this guy's face? I highly doubt it. I highly doubt that. He's a pretty boy. He's got the British accent. He's going to want to see... He's going to want, in his contract, his face all over the screen to be recognizable. I don't know how many times he's going to have that helmet on. But that's a poor choice right there. And that already scares me for what this movie's going to be about. I'm really not expecting a whole lot from this. It's scary because I really wanted to do well so they could make other movies. But, yeah. I don't know. I don't care for these figures. I mean, I'll... buy them, I guess, if they're on discount. But apparently some people got it for $5 on Amazon. They were only for $5 on Amazon.com. They had an air. So people were buying it yesterday night, I believe it was. But yeah, I mean, not one classified figure. Nothing. Zero. Not even a Cobra Island special from Target.
Those are saved for exclusive, so they can cancel them on you.
Yeah, they didn't even like hint at anything other than the movie ones. It was brutal.
You know, just like Chris wants the legs from that figure, I just want them to show me a leg that's coming down the road. Like, nothing.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you ever get your Storm Shadow?
Yes, it's stuck at the border.
Okay. Because I heard there's a big mess with those. Again, distribution.
Like, oh, I never got the original pre-order ever. I had to buy it from somebody who was nice enough to give it to me at cost. I have two Storm Shadows sitting at the border in Blaine. when the door borders open up, I'll get the access to it.
But I remember there was like a big cancellation, like chaos mess.
I had ordered two separate ones, for one for me and one for somebody else, and they were both canceled. It's a complete joke. Like, they're like Telfer touched on it, their distribution, I don't know how it works, but it's a complete in disarray. It's a sham.
It's insane.
Like, they have no idea what they're doing. And I mean, in Canada, we don't even have the Firefly.
Yeah, at this point, it's like the scalpers are making more money than Hasbro is on these. Guys are like tripling or quadrupling their money on certain figures. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you do what you can to help everybody out to get their figures, but it's just like there's only so much to go around to help everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I still know people that want these figures, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't find them anymore. I've tried to help as many as I can, but, you know, it's just impossible now with the amount that they give us. Like, Troopers, don't get me started on that. You know, it's just a joke. It's crazy. But going back to this thing, FanFest, yeah, I think it was a fail. I don't think it was that great. I'm hoping that they've learned and they can get some feedback from people, and next year maybe they'll actually do a better job and not have that really weird rock and roll group that I just found really weird. And I don't know, it was like, okay, Cybertronic cool. A for effort, I guess, right? So
that's hilarious.
Yeah, but is there anything else you guys wanted to add to the FanFest or maybe want to change?
I want you guys to get your money's worth. Does that count? Like, I don't know. I don't have any.
Maybe don't well, have a Hasbro just have two Hascons a year. I don't know.
Or maybe just have a Hascon and just stick with your regular, you know, once a month Friday kind of regular thing, right?
Yeah.
Because with those regular days, we're not expecting a lot, right? If they show us one or two nice figures and that's it, we are not throwing our hands in the air going, "What the heck was that?" Because that's what we're expecting, one or two, because it's once a month and they stretch it out, right? So if you're going to, like I said, if you're going to do an event, bring the event, you know, bring it. Show us new things. Show us an entire wave of new stuff that we want. Don't try to promote a movie that it's going to probably fail, or show us a Transformer that's going to be pretty much out of reach for about 90% of the people that are watching it, right? It's really not a fan fest. It's more of you trying to show your strength of being in the movie industry and then being able to make high-end robotics, right? It's not really fair because Hasbro's, you know, budget for figures is between $20 to $35 average. So if you're a company that deals with those kind of price ranges, why are you showing a $6.99 figure and movie figures that nobody's probably going to care about? So I don't know, like,
maybe the Optimus Prime took away from the budget for the movie figures? And Marvel Girl quality? You know, just saying?
Yeah. and you know, I didn't see much of, in a way of, you know, other lines that Hasbro does. You know, they're very focused on kids line stuff, but how many kids are watching in the middle of the daytime? They're at school. So I don't understand that. You know, they had kid toy lines promoting them at 11 o'clock in the morning Pacific time. They're in school. They're not going to be watching this. I guess they're trying to sucker us parents to buy it, I guess. But, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, to me, it was just not a great event, in my opinion. And hopefully next year, if they do one, it will be better. But anything else you guys want to add before we kind of check out here?
All good on my end.
No, I'm all good, too.
All good.
Same here.
Everyone's good. All right. Okay. Yeah, we just went over the hour mark a little bit here, but hope everybody appreciated it. All right. Okay. Well, with that being said, wherever you are around the world or the universe, have yourselves a good morning, a good day, and a good night. Take care. Bye bye.
Good night.
Bye, guys.
Bye bye. Peace out. Woo.
Bye.